This morning's liturgy speaks to us profoundly of the compassion of God, God's tender mercy for us, God's remarkable love, active and present in our lives. Right before I was ordained a priest, a very wise old nun talked to me for about an hour and wanted to share with me her wisdom as I was poised on the adventure of my priesthood. And the one thing that she said that always sticks out for me is everyone you will meet as a priest has a secret sorrow. Everyone you will meet has a secret sorrow. And everyone is looking for someone who will listen to their secret sorrow with compassion. So as a priest, that is your duty, that is your service, to listen to the suffering people of God with compassion. I have found her wisdom to be profoundly true in my 23 years of priesthood, because every single one of us has somehow been wounded, has somehow been scarred, is in the midst of some form of suffering, carries some semblance of the cross, bears some part of the mystery of the redemption of the world. And every one of us is looking for someone to listen to us with a compassionate heart. We see that in the scriptures profoundly, the contrast between the first reading and the gospel. In the first reading, through the prophet Jeremiah, God condemns the shepherds of his people because they profoundly do not care. They do not have compassion for the people of God. And therefore, the Lord condemns them and prophesies that he will raise up a righteous shoot, a just man who will shepherd God's people wisely and with love and with mercy. And of course, we see that as a great foreshadowing of the advent of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd, as the incarnation of the compassion of the Father. There's a profound difference between sympathy and compassion. Is there not? And we can sense the difference when we're on the receiving end of it. Sympathy is good. You stand in a line at a funeral and you offer your sympathies and you give a card and maybe you say a few words. But sympathy is offered from the safety of distance. Sympathy is saying, I am sorry for your loss, or I'm sorry for the suffering that you are going through. But then one moves on with one's life. One has made that gesture of sympathy and goes on. Compassion is made of sturdier stuff, because compassion, which comes from the Latin and literally means to suffer with, gets down into the hole in the dark night of suffering with the one who is in that moment of suffering, who is in that pit. The one who is compassionate stands with the suffering one and shares in that experience. When we have received compassion, do we not find that profoundly healing? Do we not find that there's another soul out there who understands me, who walks with me, who loves me, who listens to me, who is one with my situation? Compassion is difficult to offer because it's inconvenient and it's painful, because the darkness and emptiness of another is going to seep into my soul. And so only a strong servant of Christ can be compassionate. But compassion gets us to the very heart of Jesus' identity. God could have saved us in any way that he chose. He could have just waved his hand and said, you're saved. But it seems to me that he chose the hardest way possible. That in Jesus Christ, God literally enters into the dark pit of our alienation, our sin, our suffering, and our death. And it's from our position that God saves us from within the mystery of our own humanity. And that's why every single Sunday since the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, the church has celebrated the Eucharist. Because we see in that profound gesture of compassion, literally the salvation of God, the forgiveness of our sins, and the promise of eternal life. As I look at all of you, I know that you are already ministers of compassion, that you love profoundly the people in your life, that you strive to live the gospel, that you seek to be a servant of Christ, that the Lord has stirred up in your heart the desire to give yourself away. But there's always an extra step to take. There's always another movement to go deeper, to fall more deeply in love with God, to be more radically available to our neighbor, to give that part of ourselves that we want to hold back out of fear or self-concern. So who is it in your life and who is it in my life that needs an act of compassion this week? Who is it that needs a phone call or a visit? Who is it that needs a gesture of support and of service? Who is reaching out to us, depending on us to be their manifestation of Jesus Christ, their ear of compassion, the one who stops and understands, the one who stoops down into the pit and is willing to bear a bit of the darkness of the world? In our second reading, St. Paul speaks in his letter to the Ephesians profoundly about the reconciling power of Jesus Christ. Indeed, reconciliation is at the very heart of our Christian faith, because it was in Jesus' incarnation, life, ministry, death, and resurrection that he heals the broken parts of our humanity and weaves them back together. When we look at our world today, everything seems broken, doesn't it? Whether it's the economy or the government or the schools or the church or our families or ourselves, we are a body of broken bones, as Thomas Merton wrote in the 1960s, and not too much has changed since then. We look at all the division and conflict and violence and suffering and poverty of this world, and sometimes we're tempted to fall into despair. And yet it's in the power of Jesus Christ and the reconciling power unleashed through his death and resurrection that we are given hope. Because the Lord is mending the broken pieces of our humanity even when we know nothing about it. And so we trust in his mercy, in his compassion, and in his grace. But in a sense, he relies on us to be his voice, to be his hands, to be his reconciling power in this world. And so to be a person of compassion and of peace, to be a person of forgiveness and of interest in the lives of others, is a radical act of prophecy in a world that is so self-concerned, so broken, and so dark at times. The Lord calls us to be the light of the world, and it's this Eucharist that nourishes us and gives us the ability to go out and to be Jesus for others. We pray for the grace this day, this week, this life, to do precisely that, to be the compassionate heart of the Father. Henry Nouwen wrote a beautiful book on the parable of the prodigal son, and the point of his book is that as we move through our spiritual life, so we move through the various figures of that parable. And so in many ways we are like the lost son, in many ways we are like the righteous older brother, but that the whole point of the spiritual life in the end is to become the merciful Father, that others may come to us and find rest, that others may come to us and find acceptance, that others may come to us and discover the astonishing mercy of God. In the gospel, Jesus wanted just 5 minutes of alone time with his apostles, and he couldn't get it. But his response is not anger. His response is that his heart is moved with pity for the crowd. May our hearts be so open, so broken, so vulnerable that it literally becomes an incarnation of the heart of Christ. As we receive the Lord in the Eucharist today, we pray for that gift, that Jesus puts his heart in us, that we may love with his heart, listen with his heart, be with his heart, to be his heart in this world. That's the grace and vocation given to us.